Pleased to be talking today with Keith Kissling, wheat producer from Burlington, Oklahoma, who was appointed a little while back by Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack to a commission called the AC21.
Why don't you tell me, give us a little bit of idea of exactly what this commission was all about. Obviously you were appointed to this particular commission, I think representing wheat grower interest. Tell me a little bit about this particular commission.
It's called the AC21 Biotech Committee. It's a USDA appointment by Secretary Vilsack. That acronym stands for Advisory Committee. It's not a board. It's only an advisory committee. And it's all about coexistence between the organic farmers, the traditional farmers, and the GE farmers, or the genetically engineered crops. And we know that there's going to be a lot more genetically engineered crops. In fact, you're right, I was the representative for wheat on that committee, and even though we don't have a release of a GE wheat crop yet, or a wheat variety yet, we know it's coming, and we know it's going to happen eventually, maybe sooner than later, I don't know, but they say at least in the next 10 years. So I was in there to help see what may happen to wheat when it does, there is a release. And so he gave us, Secretary Vilsack gave us a charge before we started, in that he was having some feedback from the organic people about GE crops intermingling with their organic crops. And so his charge was, what types of compensation mechanisms, if any, would be appropriate to address economic losses by farmers in which the value of the crops is reduced by unintended presence of GE materials, and what would be necessary to implement such mechanisms. That is what would be the eligibility standard for a loss, and what tools, triggers, tolerances, testing protocols would be needed to verify and measure such losses and determine if claims are compensable. So those were that was the charge that he gave us, and we've met five times to try to come up with an answer for him, something that we could put together in a draft and everybody agree on. And as you could understand, it's pretty hard. There was a huge gap between the groups as to where they wanted to go with this. But we did come up with something at the end yesterday, day before yesterday. The ACs acknowledge that biotechnology does not create risks that are new to agriculture. It's about finding ways for different production methods and consumer preferences to work together to facilitate greater diversity in American agriculture. And after thoughtful discussions, there's no available evidence to justify establishing a costly comparison a compensation program for producers of identity-preserved crops. If that data shows a problem exists, then our recommendation to the Secretary could consider a crop insurance program using a pilot program to test its feasibility. We don't see that at this time, but if that data does show up, then that's our recommendation, an insurance program using a pilot program to test it. And for right now, the additional recommendations by AC21 could be through outreach, education, research, and good neighborly practices. And we find that happening quite a bit. We had public comments each meeting. We found it on both sides, but we found out mostly that if good neighborly practices are applied, there's really not as much problem as we first thought.
Keith, I know that some folks, especially some of our organic producers and folks that are anti-GM, feel that there's a major, major issue here. As this committee got into the meat of the issue, what did you find out? Is there a big problem?
There's not a lot of research gone on about how much damage there really is. The organic farmer is not asking for a mechanism, a compensation mechanism. They're asking for prevention up front. They'd like to see buffers put in. They'd like to see distances made between fields, mainly just farmer to farmer getting together, and they were in agreement on this outreach education through the land grant colleges in each state where this is a problem, to have the land grants come out with an education program to let the neighbors know how far that pollen, it's the pollen drift that kind of causes the problem. So if that education process could happen through the land grants, which would make for better neighborly practices, then an awful lot of these problems could be reached. Or planting dates be at separate times, you know, not overlap your planting dates so your pollen drift's going to cause problems on your neighbor. You know, the organics, they're less than 4% of the production, but their crops are worthy of having. And that's the thing that I probably took away from this AC21 committee more than anything else, was everybody ought to have the right to plant and produce what they want to produce. And the organics have a clientele that want their product and will pay for their product. And they're getting $32 a bushel for organic soybeans. They're getting $17 a bushel for organic corn. So there's a niche there that needs to be filled. And we want to be sure that's available for them too.
Keith, as you worked with these producers from across the country, the other 21 members of the commission, did you find some common ground with these folks?
Oh, yes, there is. And they realize that everybody is going to, they need to plant what they're, most of the organic farmers are smaller farmers. And so they have to utilize everything that they can. You know, they don't have a lot of acres, so they have to, they're trying to utilize this market that's a high volume, a high return market. And so I think, you know, even the guys growing GE crops, that I think 97% of the corn now is GE varieties, they still understand that their neighbors that are organic farmers, they've got to cut some slack there, and they got to get a refuge next to their fence. They need to have a setback of some kind. In some cases, even they went to their neighbors and they paid for that 15-16 foot refuge area for them, so they could go ahead and plant their GE crops. And so, I think the education to be a good neighbor practice probably is going to be the big thing that they could do right now.
Keith, the draft that the committee has come up with to this point, you think it's pretty well in line with what the secretary was anticipating?
Well, I think that he thought if we went through this process and we saw that there was a definite need for a compensation mechanism, then he wanted some latitude on things that he could do. And after going through all of it, even the organic farmers, they're not in favor of a compensation mechanism, and I think that's going to surprise him. But they're not in favor of a compensation mechanism. They are in favor of some type of prevention. And so prevention happens through better neighborly practices and education and outreach, and I think if we can do that, that's going to cover an awful lot of it. However, we did leave that open to a suggestion that if the research does show, the data does show that there's a bigger problem than what we saw, then it could be run through a federal crop insurance program using a pilot program first, instead of just opening it up to insurance program. Don't open it up first off to an insurance program. Use a pilot program first to see what the feasibility would be in using federal crop to help that situation out.
Keith Kissling from Burlington, Oklahoma, who represented the wheat industry on this advisory committee for the 21st century biotechnology in agriculture, basically a committee looking at the clash of technology versus non-technology. The idea that farmers need to try to get along, whether you're talking about an organic, all-natural type producer or one that's using some of the latest technology when it comes to genetically altered, genetically modified plants. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.